Man, Matthew chapter 11, if you would please. I know you've been standing for a minute, so we'll get right to it and let you be seated. Matthew chapter 11, it's good to see everyone out tonight. While you're turning there, I always appreciate the opportunity to preach. I don't always think to say it because I may not be able to tell, but I'm a little nervous up here. But the first actual message that I actually put together and presented was for a New Year's Eve service. A long time ago, I think it was New Year's Eve 2009, I think is what it was. And I only had about 10 minutes to preach because if you remember back that far, I had to go behind Brother Mitch O'Neill and Brother John Teeter. And so I believe I had about 10 minutes, but it's okay because I had about a page of notes and I was done about four. And so don't take that to heart because that won't be tonight. It was just kind of funny thinking about that today. Let's get right to it here. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. I don't want to start talking here. I don't want to let you be seated. So Matthew 11, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Okay, so it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So a familiar passage, I'm sure, and I'll talk more about that here in just a second. But what I'd like to preach about tonight is principles for seasons of rest. Principles for seasons of rest. Hopefully that'll make sense here in just a moment. So let's pray, ask the Lord's blessing before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the night. Thank you for those who are here. And I pray that this be with those who are away from us for whatever reason, that you heal the sick and bring the traveling folks back to us safely. But for those of us who are here, may we do our best to tune in, not certainly not for me, but for your word, and maybe just do our best to apply properly what you'd have for us here this evening. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You all can be seated. You know, I talk to my class often. I teach a college and career class, and so we talk often. Well, I say we. They don't really talk a whole lot when I'm talking, but, you know, I talk to them often about how life is seasons, you know, and I think this was not intended to be a New Year's type of message. I know it's New Year's Eve, but that wasn't really my thinking. I think that the Lord gave me this because I needed to hear it more than anybody else. And so, life is all about seasons, isn't it? And as you reflect, you know, on 2025, I'm sure that maybe some of y'all went through some seasons this year. You know, maybe you endured some bad seasons, some time of grief or some time of loss or something like that. But hopefully there were some good seasons too. And, you know, and it's so easy to just dwell on the bad, isn't it? Come on, y'all wait tonight. It's so easy to just dwell on the bad and just to think, you know, if I asked you to write down, you know, some of the big events of 2025, I wonder how quickly we would just think about the bad things that happened. You know, just think about, man, I really would rather not have gone through this year. And that goes to the top of the list. But how many answered prayers go to the top? How many times would the Lord came through for you and no one else could have? You know, it's so easy to think about those things and to dwell on the bad. But when it comes to seasons of life, I believe that there's certainly seasons of life that are busy and that are hard and that are difficult. You know, raising a family, it's not easy. You're working a job, it's not easy. Being an active member in a church is not easy. And doing all of the things that many of us do throughout the year, year over year, they never get any easier, do they? They never get any easier. But I do believe that there are also times in which a season of rest is appropriate. Now, when I say that, a lot of times our mind goes toward the physical rest. You know, I just need to get more sleep. You know, and man, who wouldn't sign up for that? You know, but most of the time, that's not the answer. Man, it got quiet. Y'all okay? Y'all think about how you're going to sleep in the morning. That's what's happening. Get up and read your Bible, okay? But, you know, a lot of times when we think of a season of rest, you know, maybe I just need to reevaluate some priorities. I'm getting a little too busy. And there's joy in a simple life, isn't there? There's joy in making things as simple as possible and just focusing on what you have to do instead of the world burning down around you. There's simplicity. There's joy in that, isn't there? And so Jesus here talking about a famous passage again. And I don't know many people that have a problem with this passage. About any church that you go to, whether they're an actual church or not, just about any church will gladly preach or teach out of Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, and 30. Because who doesn't want rest? That's appealing to everybody, isn't it? And so this really isn't a controversial passage, but I fear that, like many other passages, when it's taught and preached, it's not done correctly, and it leads people to incorrect assumptions. And I'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But in life's ever-changing seasons, there will be times in which it's necessary to take times of rest. And so in verse number 28 is kind of where I want to start tonight. We'll just walk our way through the passage here. And so once we get down to verse number 30, you'll know we're about done. All right, so have hope. The end is nigh. So in verse number 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that," what? What's the first word there? Labor. Labor. You know, labor, of course, it means to toil, to be burdened. Okay, that's the literal definition of the word. And we all here tonight know what labor is, don't we? We know what it means to toil. We know what it means to work. And there's many different applications of that. You know, my mind goes to not just simply maybe you have a physical job or a physical thing that you do. You work with your hands or something like that, and that's appropriate, I suppose. But I believe that if you're doing everything you're supposed to as a Christian, man, it's labor. It's labor. It's hard. It's hard doing all those roles that I talked about already. But what's even harder is doing all those roles well. You know, it's one thing to teach a class and then to clean the church and then to be in the choir and then to teach, you know, this class or do this thing. It's a lot to have a lot, but it can be just as hard, if not more difficult, to only have one or two things and to put your heart and soul into it. You know, we have folks that teach a Sunday school class, and that's quote-unquote all that they do. It's funny how we say that sometimes, right? That's all that they do. But man, if you're praying for your class and you're coming prepared and you're studying every week and you're putting your heart into it, man, that's some work. That's toil, isn't it? And so we understand labor, and the second part there is all ye that labor and are what? Say it together. Heavy laden. Heavy laden. That means to carry or to pull a staggering weight. You know, that describes very much of the Christian life, doesn't it? If you're serious about it, that describes a lot of the Christian life. But the problem is that many times, that is not what describes most people's Christian life. A lot of people come to church with a consumer-minded mentality. What can the church do for me? And we ought to do everything possible as members of Calvary Baptist Church to never bring that here. We ought to take part. It ought to be hard. You know, coming in, working all day, and then coming in for Wednesday night service is not always easy. It's not always easy when you've had a particularly busy week to sit down and spend some time getting a message together for the class. It's not always easy working full time and moms with the kids and all the things that go on to get here and to clean the church. These things are not easy, and they're not meant to be. Y'all hearing me tonight? They're not meant to be easy. Serving God was never meant to be easy. But I think that sometimes in our busyness and in our toil and in our labor, as what's described here, we'll come back to the verse here in just a second. But sometimes in those times, we allow our perspective to be wrong. And we focus on all that we have to do instead of why we're doing it. And so Jesus says in verse number 28, the first three words, say it with me, come unto me. Come unto me. And I understand, and I don't know if I put this in my notes or not, but I'm gonna come down here because I feel like you're not with me tonight. And so, you know, when Jesus says, come unto me, a lot of times this verse is mentioned when it comes to soul winning, and it's mentioned when it comes to, you know, bringing someone to Christ or introducing the gospel to them. And I'm not so sure that that's accurate. I think it's a great illustration. But in verse number 25, you'll note that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And I believe that that's the case. Simply because what the disciples were doing, what the apostles were doing, what Jesus was doing, friend, it was hard. It was hard. It was hard traveling. It was hard doing the miracles, and it was even harder dealing with the people who didn't like it. None of those things were easy. But Jesus invites his disciples, and he says, what are those three words again? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Do you think that would be the disciples? Sure it would. And so, Jesus is saying, it's not meant to be easy. But when it is hard, you need to recognize the season, change the perspective, and come unto me. Come unto me. How easy would it have been to the disciples to drown in all that they had to do? How easy is it for us to drown in all that we had to do? We are famously busy, aren't we? Those of you who keep a calendar and organize your lives, some of you like to live lives of organized chaos. And I applaud you for showing up anywhere when you're supposed to. But some of us keep a calendar, okay? And we keep life organized. And if you open up that calendar, you would think, man, I'm pretty busy. I have doctor's appointments. I have church services. We have special meetings. We have this. We have that. And your calendar is packed full. How easy is it to drown in that? How easy is it to look at all that I have done, all that I need to do, all that I'm going to do, and just to think, man, I'm so busy. I don't know how I'm gonna read my Bible in the morning. I don't know when I'm gonna find time to pray. And we find ourselves where we have to schedule time with God. And Jesus is saying, if you're laboring and you're heavy laden, if you're carrying a staggering weight, again, the meaning of heavy laden there, he doesn't say, pencil me in when you can. What are those three words again? Come unto me. Come unto me. And I'm glad that we can come unto him. I'm glad that no matter how busy I am, no matter how much I have to do, and don't you think that God is pretty busy too? He's only keeping everything going. But he says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and here's the best part, and I will give you what? Rest. So we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But by the implication of verse number 29, and I've talked about this a little bit already, but let's walk through it together, okay? By implication of verse number 29, we can see that in order to put Jesus' yoke on, which we'll get to, we must take another one off. Let's look at verse 29. Let's see what it says. It says, take my yoke upon you. Well, in order to take his on, you have to be available to do it. How quickly do we take on the yoke of the world? How quickly do we saddle ourselves with the staggering weight of everything but the things of God? How quickly do we take on the yoke of career and the yoke of money and the yoke of retirement and the yoke of all of the material things that, friend, do not matter? Don't matter. And listen, I'm not just standing up here telling you what to do, because believe you me, I've dealt with a few things in my own life this week too, thinking about this. It's so easy to take on that yoke of the world, isn't it? To begin to obsess over everything that we can see rather than the things that we can't. And the yoke that we take on for the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be difficult. But that's the one that you wear when you want to do the work that matters. When you're serious about serving God, when you're serious about doing the things of God and being around the people of God, and I'll get to all that here in just a second, but let me just tell you that taking on the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is hard and it is difficult and it is heavy, but that is where you do the work that matters. You take on the yoke of your career, it'll last for a short time. You know, the company that I work for, they're really big on retirement, because the retirement's so good, and the retirement's this, the retirement's that. And so everybody talks about the retirement. Well, somebody works 40 years with the company, and then we throw a little party, and then no one talks about them. It's like that at your companies too, isn't it? Maybe they'll reference the person. If it's a manager who retired, they get blamed for everything that went wrong. That's certainly how it works. But when you take on the things of the world and you take on the yoke of the world, it never pays off. You know, it's surprising how often we take on more of a yoke or a burden than God intended us to do. He'll give you what you can handle. You know, you ever worry about things like, what's going to happen with this situation? What's going to happen with this circumstance? What's going to happen with my relationship with this person? And we worry and we worry and we worry. And what do when we're worrying? We take on the yoke. We saddle ourselves with things we were never meant to handle. And so seasons of rest should never result. Here's kind of the key statement. Here's where we're going to finish up here in just a little bit, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this part down, okay? Here's the main thought. Seasons of rest should never result in less time with God or his people. Seasons of rest should never result in less time with God or his people. And listen, before I go any further, that runs very contrary to the way that a lot of churches and a lot of teachers and preachers would bring out this passage. Because they're feeding to the mentality of the consumer. And so what do people like to hear? People like to hear things like God loves you and God is merciful and God doesn't want anything hard for you. That's what people want to hear. But I'm telling you tonight that when you are overwhelmed and you need a season of rest in your life, what you don't need is to forsake the things and people of God. You need to run to it. And I understand who I'm preaching to tonight. I understand the fact that just about all of us are plugged into something here at Calvary. I understand that and I thank the Lord for it. But I'm telling you also that we are the ones most susceptible to this. Because we are the people who make ministry our life. And that becomes overwhelming. And suddenly you find out you're not as well balanced as you thought you were. So I'm just telling you that we need to cling to God and the things of God. And I'll give you some practical things here in just a minute. But I want to encourage you, not because it's me talking, but because these are principles from Scripture, that when you need rest, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or say it's me tonight, but if this is you, you know it. You know when you begin to feel like church isn't doing much for me right now. My class isn't doing much for me right now. That participating in this ministry and that ministry, it used to be fulfilling, but now it's not. You don't need to quit. You just might need to rest. You just might need to rest. The answer is not quitting. It's never the answer. Never quit on the Lord. Never quit on the things of the Lord. And never quit on the people of the Lord. If we church members are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we'll be encouraging each other to press on. We'll be lifting each other up in prayer. We'll be caring about one another. Those are the last people you want to turn your back on. The people who truly love you and care for you. And as much as we as a church should be doing that, if nothing else, God loves you more than the church ever could. So don't quit. Don't quit. In seasons of life where you need some rest, and those do come, in those times and in those seasons, I'm going to encourage you with three principles. You ready? Number one, you need to cling to your time with God. Do you hear me? Your time with God. Now that implies that you already have time with God. And I find it interesting how many people quit when they don't have a relationship with God. You can't quit on something you never started. And so time with God, it is imperative not to everyone, to every one of us. We all must be spending time with God. Personally. Just because your spouse is doing it does not mean that it rolls over to you. Just because pastor's doing it doesn't mean it rolls over to the church member. You remember when cell phone plans had the rollover plan? Okay, it does not work in this instance, okay? And I don't think that they have it at all anymore. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But there's no such thing as a rollover plan when it comes to time with God. I can't spend 5 extra minutes and transfer that to my wife. She's going to have to do it on her own. Your Sunday school teacher, their time does not translate over to you. You have to do it on your own. Let's look at some verses here. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 31. I used this in class the other day, talking about a similar type of subject. It wasn't quite the same thing. But in Mark chapter 6, verse number 31, while you're turning there, the disciples are full heat into ministry at this point. Okay, all the things that I described, they're out preaching, they're out baptizing, they're out doing all the things that they were supposed to be doing. Okay, now here's where we're at in Mark chapter 6, verse number 31. Is everybody there? We all there? Okay, Mark 6, 31. And he said, that's Jesus, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves, what? Apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now, how odd does that sound to you? If you were one of the disciples, and you were serving alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the last thing that I would want to do is push pause on that. Wouldn't you want to keep going? Wouldn't you want to see how many more lives to be affected? Wouldn't you want to see how many more people Jesus could heal? Wouldn't you want to see everything there is to see? That's easy to say, sitting in an air-conditioned room with comfy pews. Because Jesus understood. He was a man too, by the way. He got tired just like they did. Jesus recognized the need for rest. The need to come apart. It says, and rest a while. I can't think of any other way to rest than to pull apart from all the other people and just spend time with Jesus like they did. That's a pretty good idea, don't you think? And so, in full swing of the ministry, in full swing of doing all the things that they were doing, Jesus recognized the need for rest. He even says, and rest a while. How long's a while? I don't know, he doesn't say. However long was needed. Jesus didn't give them a timeline on how long they needed to rest. He just said a while. But notice, they didn't quit. They got back up and they continued on. So in seasons of rest and time of rest, man, we need to cling to God. Don't we? We need to cling to God. Say amen so I can move on. Otherwise, I feel like I need to keep preaching the same thing. Okay? So whenever you notice that myself or the other guys are preaching the same point, it's because we are. We're worried you haven't gotten it yet. And so you got to say amen and let us know that you're listening. And so secondly, spend time with God. But secondly, spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. Back to our text here in Matthew chapter 11. In verse number 29, I want you to notice what Jesus says here. There's other passages we could turn to. I want to be respectful of the time tonight, and so I want to stick pretty closely to the text. But it says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest in your souls. You know, when I was in high school and in Bible college and institute as well, I didn't find learning to be very easy. I didn't find the institute projects, the pastor gave us, I didn't find those particularly easy sometimes. In fact, quite the opposite. I found them rather difficult. Because church life didn't stop, family life didn't stop, nothing stopped, more just got added on. But it was during those times, during those projects, during the studying, during the time of, you know, I got all of this to do, but I got to do this too. I found out something quite interesting. That it was during those times that I learned the most. I still haven't forgotten some of the projects that I had to do in institute. That was a while ago. And I remember them, not necessarily because of the subject matter, not necessarily because of the end result or the end grade, which I always got an A, and Pastor will attest to that, I'm sure. It's not necessarily true. But it was during those times because I studied for myself. I got into the Word of God myself. I researched for myself. And I did my best to learn of Him. Does that make sense at all? It's during the times of seasons of rest when you're spending time with God personally, and then you are doing your best to learn of Him. The problem is, during seasons of rest, we cling so quickly to the reason why we're tired. And we think, man, if I just didn't have this thing to do, it would be a little bit easier. If I just didn't have this person to deal with, it might be easier. When instead, what we should be saying is, during seasons of rest, I want to learn. Brother Mason, that sounds like more work. Now you're catching on. Because the Christian life is not an easy one. It is a shift of focus off of me and onto Him. Where I spend time just saying, Lord, don't just give me something for today. Give me something to change me. Give me something to help me through this circumstance. Give me something that will be long term. So often when we come to church or when we open our Bible, we're looking for short-term solutions. We're looking for a verse that will help us deal with this difficult person at work or some other type of situation that is always short-term. Instead, when you're learning of Him, learn about His character. Learn about who He is. It says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn who Jesus is so that it can change who you are. During seasons of rest, we so quickly focus on us. I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I'm so this, and I'm so that. Okay, but what about Him? What about your Savior? How does He want you to respond? What does He want you to do? Are y'all catching on a little bit? It's so important to not just spend time with Him, spend time with His Word. Learn who He is. Learn about your Savior. Because He wants to give you rest. You notice that's in verse 28 and 29? Jesus doesn't say things on accident. I think He really wanted them to get this, don't you? And I think that since it's in the Word of God, which is in your lap, He probably wants us to get the same thing. Do you want rest? Here's what you have to do. Oh, by the way, do you want rest? Here's what you have to do. God doesn't say repetitive things. I think we just need to hear it twice. So during seasons of rest or time of rest, spend time with God. Secondly, spend time in God's Word. And lastly, number three, spend time in God's work, in His work. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I think this is our last verse here, so we're nearing the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, at the end of 1 Corinthians, I'll spare you some of the reading here, but Paul is finishing up the letter to the church at Corinth, and he makes special mention of several people, and again, I'm not going to read all of it tonight, but I do want you to notice what he says about these individuals. He lists them by name in verse 17, and then again in verse number 19 and 22, I think it is. But look at verse number 18, where he describes what these people at the church at Corinth, which, by the way, was not a perfect church. Far from it. But here's what he says, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Don't you think that maybe Paul got a little tired sometimes? Don't you think that maybe the Apostle Paul and all of his travels and all of his, while he was being chased and while he was being persecuted and all these things, don't you think that it would make him a man that was especially appreciative of those who cared for him? And he makes mention of the fact that even at the church at Corinth, again, not a perfect church, far from it, all of the problems that they had, all of the issues that Paul had to deal with, all the division going on there, in the midst of all of that, Paul takes time at the end of his letter to acknowledge the fact that there were people who refreshed him, people who cared for him, people who did their best to, maybe they encouraged the Apostle Paul. Maybe they had them over for dinner. Well, of course they did. They're Baptists. If they're meeting, they're eating, right? And so they invited the Apostle Paul over and had crock pots of soup and chili. I don't know what they had. But they did everything they could to care for Paul. And he was refreshed because of it. And so I asked you, during seasons of rest, when you want to be like a turtle and shrink into your shell, how quickly do you emphasize privacy in your life and isolation in your life, and what you should be doing is being refreshed by God's people? Brother Mason, I'm an introvert. Find another introvert. Be friends. I know that it runs contrary, but it's the simple fact that God's work refreshes God's people. It just does. How many times, guys, have we done a project around the church that wasn't necessarily easy, but we walked away thinking, man, I'm tired, but that was good. It was good. It was good being around the men of God, the people of God, doing the things of God. It's fun. It should be fun. And if it isn't, can I be a little blunt for a second? Okay, thank you. If it isn't, it's probably not because of everyone else. It's probably because you brought some stinking thinking to the work. It's probably because in your season of rest, you're not serious about your time with God. You want to pull the plug. You want to quit for a time. You want to drop this ministry and drop that ministry and not do this and not do that. But can I just encourage you that we see time and time again in the Scriptures where when God's people meet, great things happen. It's all throughout the New Testament. There are hard times. There are hard seasons, not just of life, but of church life too. But we still need each other. There's no place I'd rather be than Calvary Baptist Church. No place I'd rather be than serving alongside you all. It's a great privilege to do so. And may I and all of us Keep that mentality. What we have is special. The work of God is special. The people of God, the Word of God that's taught and preached, everything about it is special. It's distinct from anything else that we deal with out in the world. And it should remain so. And the only way to do that is if we appreciate it for what it is. And during your time, during your season, where you feel overwhelmed and you feel tired and you feel anxious and you feel depressed and you feel fearful and all of the other things that I could throw in there, during that time is when you need to be here the most. When you don't feel like going, that's when you need to go. We need each other. We can be refreshed by each other. So may we do our best in seasons of rest and seasons of times where you need to take a break for a second. May we not forsake the Word of God. The Word of God in our time with God. You know, we ought to strive to continue to serve Him despite the emotional toil or the grief or the hardships and even the seasons of rejoicing. Sometimes you can feel like life is so good that I don't need church. What do I need church for? Everything's going really good. Now, I don't think that'd be anybody here, but maybe there's somebody on live stream who thinks, you know what? I'm perfectly content sitting on my couch watching church from here. No, you need to be in church. You need to be in church. We're going to have a time of fellowship here in just a few minutes, and you can't get that sitting on your couch alone. Did COVID teach us nothing? Listen, choose to serve God consistently and faithful, regardless of the season. And that's what I want us to walk away with. Yes, seasons of rest are important. Yes, you should keep these principles in your back pocket. If everything's going fine for you right now, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it, because it will not always be so. So I'd encourage you, regardless of the season, whether you are here tonight and you know what, I need a little bit of rest. If that's the case, these principles are for you. And you need to apply them. Not because Brother Mason said it, but because it's Scripture. Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." No one else can give you the rest that you're looking for. You can scratch out as much as you want off of your calendar, and it's not going to help you a bit. In fact, it might make you more miserable. Because the more time you have, the less busy you are, the lazier you become. Lazy people always need rest. But it's not the right kind of rest. Lazy people need rest just because they're lazy. So if you've never felt the need to rest, if you've never felt, you know what, I'm not too busy. I don't have much to do. Well, get your hands in the Word of God. Get your hand in the things of God. You'll be tired, but it'll be worth it. So choose to serve God consistently. Regardless of the season, regardless of what's going on in your life. And there are many things that's happened in folks' lives this year. Aren't there? My life has, there's been some things in our life we'd rather not go through this year. And there's been seasons of rejoicing in our family this year. We've seen it both ways. Some of you are very much the same. And so I'd encourage you that regardless of what you've been through the last year, regardless of what you're looking forward to in the next year, serve God consistently. Is everyone with me tonight? Because it's important that we serve Him. I would remind you in verse number 30, and we're going to finish up here. Matthew 11, verse number 30. We've read it once, but let's read it again. After saying all of these things, in verse number 30, here's how Jesus finishes. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Yes, serving God, yep, you still got a yoke you got to wear. There's still work to do. Yep, and serving God, you still have burdens that you carry. But the difference is, it's a yoke and it's a burden for Him. And He can never ask me to do something that's too much for me. He's promised that He wouldn't. And so anything that I take on for the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that I take on for His work and for His church, I see here that it may not look easy, it may not look light, but He'll make it so. So, what season of life are you in? And are you consistently serving God? Serving God never means a carefree or a worry-free life, but it is a restful one if you'll choose to serve Him. People in the world, they don't know rest, do they? Come on now. They don't know rest. Their life is full of drama and chaos and climbing the corporate ladder and manipulation and all these other things that you see in your workplace and in your lost family probably every day. That's not the life I want. I would rather choose to serve Him. So let's carry that thought with us. What do you say? Let's all stand, if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Thank you for your attention tonight. And I just want to encourage you one last time. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. If you've given a prayer request, I pray for those things. But other than that, I'm sure that there's things that just about everybody has been through or is going through, and they've not shared it with a soul. So I'd encourage you tonight that if you're carrying something, and it's consumed your thinking, it's got you questioning your time with God or your relationship with God or your relationship with God's people, you need to come down and you need to give that up to Him tonight. When He says, "Come unto me," He doesn't say, "Give it to me once and never again." He says, "Come unto me," and the expectation is that we'll continue coming. So you may need to lay a burden down multiple times. So if there's something that you need to lay at the altar tonight, it's open.